currently Asia annual demand for gold is around 2,500 tons per year. A lot of this is in China and in India, as you would expect. But over the next 15 to 20 years, as China becomes a much larger part of global GDP, and incomes rise in these emerging Asia countries, that will be able to channel the citizens of these countries will be able to channel more of their savings into gold. And if we just look at the per capita gold consumption, annual gold consumption in China and India, the two largest gold consumers in the world, each person buys around 0.6 grams of gold per year. And if we compare that to some of the more developed countries, the number goes up to around 1.2 grams per year. So on that alone, if we get the incomes in these Asian countries getting to the same levels as we do as we have in some of the more developed countries like the US and some countries in Europe, then there is that alone gives the potential for gold demand to actually double. So we think that the demand outlook for gold is still very, very strong, and Australia being placed where we are in the world, I think is in a very, very good position to capitalise on that.
How do you kind of balance, which you've touched upon in that report, the fact that you need obviously adequacy of supply to meet that demand, but not to oversupply the market so that we see a price drop and we can actually try and encourage a rise? How do you kind of strike that balance?
I think price ultimately strikes the balance between supply and demand. And I think it's mine supply is quite crucial to the supply and demand balance. There's really two major sources of gold supply in the world. One is the amount that's dug out of the ground each year, and one comes from recycled gold. And both of those things are extremely price sensitive. So 70% of the world's gold supply is actually mined, so it's a significant portion of the global gold supply. And if we're talking about a doubling of demand out of Asia, that's got to be supplied from somewhere. Most of that will come from mine supply. And at the current price of gold, it's just not sustainable for the industry. We've got a cost structure where around 20 to 25% of global gold mines around the world are not cash flow positive on a cash cost basis. And that's even before you take into account things like financing costs. So this structure for the industry is just something that's not sustainable. It's something that's, you know, as an example, it's something that's happening in the iron ore industry at the moment, where most mines around the world are actually in terms of costs are actually above where the price is now, and this is leading to a shutdown in production. But I guess the difference between iron ore and gold is that we actually think that peak gold supply is still many decades away. So that while the demand still grows, I think prices need to go higher in order to stimulate enough supply to actually come online.
And what do Australian mining companies, Australian gold producers, have to gain by this kind of long-term improvement? Are we in a position where we will see the benefit of that?
I certainly think we do. I mean, Australian gold in Asia has a very, very strong name, seen as a very high quality and highly sought after product. And the liberalisation of some of the financial systems, particularly in China, I think is actually going to have a very positive effect on gold demand. The institutional investor base in many of these countries, particularly China and India, is still very, very underdeveloped. And as those institutions grow and allocate at least some of their portfolio into gold, the delta from that, or the change in gold demand that can come from that, is very, very significant. And Australia being positioned where we are with a good name, Australian gold is a very good name in Asia, puts Australian producers in a very, very good position.